Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
France the Army.
What's up, everybody? It's the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. We got a couple commitments to talk about. Georgia has landed a pair. Dylan Bell, wide receiver out of Texas, and offensive lineman Griffin Scroggs from here in the Peach State, both three-star prospects. We're going to get into that a little bit and the fact that both guys had a chance to show what they could do in front of Georgia staff and earn their offer, earned their attention from the Georgia staff. And then we've also going to talk about just kind of this past weekend. This last weekend of July was the last time that you know, Georgia could basically host high school kids. The whole month of August, I believe, Rusty, is dead, and we don't really know about the evaluation period for the fall yet, to my knowledge. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that means. But, Rusty, going to throw it to you here first. Let's go with the first guy, Dylan Bell, wide out. What do we know about him? What makes this, I guess, something Georgia fans should be excited about?
You know, this is one of those ones where we have to kind of, you know, rely on inside information that we get. This is something that I sent Steve and Andrew Ivins a video from his trainer. He sent me, and, you know, I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't know where he's going to end up at. I don't know where the final ranking ends. I'm not going to make a prediction on that, but I will say that the video that we have that probably get to put out when he commits, or when it's done, it is that, you know, I think Georgia fans will like what they see. I tell you who he reminds me of. He's got a very similar build to Kyaris Jackson. I think he's got a little more shiftiness to him than Kyaris Jackson. But listen now, let's don't downplay Kyaris Jackson. I mean, that was a you know, state champion 100 meter guy. I think he's supposed to have a big senior season at Georgia. So, you know, you get a guy that's 6'1", 210 pounds. Georgia staff worked him out and immediately offered him. And you read the quote, you know, he gave Steve Wiltfong, I thought was great. He goes, look, if I wouldn't have came to Georgia and worked out, I never would have got that offer. I came to get an offer. I came to work out. He went to Alabama, worked out. I don't know if I'm pretty sure Alabama offered him. I need to go back and double check. So let me be clear on that. But I know Georgia offered him. I know they liked him. I know they were sky high on him. This is a guy that was, they very much like what they saw. I think he's got some explosiveness to him, ball skills. But the main thing is, this guy, you kind of read the quotes, you know, in the Steve story. This is a pissed off kid that thinks that he's under recruited. And that's a good thing to have, a young man that's coming out of the state of Texas. You know, it certainly feels like that some of the in-state schools, specifically Texas, should have recruited him harder. But Georgia wasted no time after they got a look at him. And a guy that he trained with in Houston knows some of the Georgia staff. That's the only way Georgia found out about him. And if we go back in 3 or 4 years from now and this guy has a standout career, that connection would be very, very large, because Georgia needs guys. We talk about this on the board daily. Me and Kip answer questions every day about the wide receiver recruiting. And this is a guy that Georgia worked out. And from the minute he worked out, he was a clear target. He was a clear take. I was very confident in saying on the board, this guy is a take. They like him. They got him back to campus. A lot of people thought he was going to go to Michigan at one time, but he's a Georgia Bulldog.
You say Kyaris Jackson, and I thought that was really interesting, Rusty, because whenever I watched him with the ball in the air, obviously 6'2", 205 pounds. I kind of got, as far as tracking the football ball in the air, Javon Wims. Because Javon Wims was, you know, I think he was listed at 6'4" at Georgia. I think he came in at like right at 6'2", maybe right at 6'3", but I thought it was right at 6'2" at the combine. Maybe it was, maybe I'm an inch off there, but that was kind of the feeling I got, that big body guy who controls his body real well. Javon Wims was a 4'5" guy. It's not like he was slow by any means. That's kind of the thought I got. And also, you know, I think the AD Mitchell comparisons are also there. I mean, he's a little thicker and a bigger guy than that, but played a different position some in high school than he will at the next level. He plays wide receiver in high school, but, you know, AD Mitchell played some quarterback. So did Dylan Bell. I think when you start looking at athletes like that and them doing some of the different things, like, you know, snapping the football to him and carrying it, I like that from a receiver because I think catch and run is more important now than it has ever been in the game. And I think he's the kind of guy that can kind of give you that, a tough guy to tackle after the catch, a la Kyaris Jackson, and also a guy that can be dangerous with the football in the air even when he's covered. Kip, you brought Dylan Bell up on this very podcast, first time I'd ever heard the name, weeks and weeks and weeks ago. What was it at the time that you were hearing, if you can kind of refresh us on that, that made him a guy that we really needed to keep an eye on, and how big do you think this get is for Georgia?
It was just that workout and the fact that immediately after he got to Georgia and was able to get in front of the staff, you could tell that the staff kind of turned their attention to him and talking to him and messaging him. It was clear that while he at the time had a huge amount of interest in Michigan, may even have, you know, maybe he was a solid commitment to them. I know that, you know, the crystal ball predictions came in for Michigan with him, and they obviously, there was a lot of confidence on that end. But once Georgia extended that offer, you could just tell that he became a priority for that coaching staff. And that also tells you that, I mean, he showed them a lot when he got on campus. And I think, you know, that is one of the aspects that caught my eye. Another, you know, in talking to him, you know, about why Georgia, he mentioned there's a player on the team now that he's familiar with. And you just mentioned him, you know, AD Mitchell, a guy who last year, you know, COVID, coaches not able to go out and evaluate prospects in person. We see AD Mitchell just posting workout videos, putting workout videos out there, catching a school like Georgia's attention and moving up the board and becoming a big get for them. Well, lo and behold, Dylan Bell went to the same middle school as AD Mitchell, knows him through them. They have the same trainer. And so obviously, you know, there was some feedback that Georgia got that Dylan Bell was a guy that they should take a closer look at. And if, you know, working out with the same trainer, having that connection to AD Mitchell, and then just going through what we've been going through in the last year and how evaluations have, you know, been different and a different process, it all makes a lot of sense why maybe a guy like Dylan Bell flew under the radar, you know, playing for a private school in Houston, not playing, you know, the biggest competition in Texas. He's a guy that, you know, has a lot of upside, or all upside, at just as an overall playmaker, playing running back and wide receiver, you know, for Kincaid High School. So I just think there are a lot of similarities there, and there's reason for us to think that he has, you know, similar potential. Now, obviously, AD Mitchell hasn't played a single down for Georgia, but we saw what he could do during that G-Day spring game. And so, there, you know, there's plenty of reason for Georgia fans to be excited about getting this commitment.
Let's move to the next guy, Griffin Scroggs, who I believe some of the same things can be said. He's not a skill guy, but he's an offensive lineman. Offensive line is not necessarily as big a need as receiver in this class, but Georgia doesn't have any of them committed right now. And, again, worked out for the Georgia staff, earned an offer, committed to Georgia Tech, salt in the wound there because he decommits and then commits to Georgia. Rusty, based on what you've heard, what was it about Scroggs that, you know, that kind of stood out and earned him an offer?
I go back. You know, the fun part of my job is I get to see these kids, you know, usually in MVP camp when they're young. I saw Griffin for the first time in February of 2018 in Valdosta Lounge camp. He was a freshman at Buford High School. He went his freshman year to Buford before transfer over to Grayson. he was small. He was young. He was, you could tell he had some fight in him though. I mean, you know, he was probably 6'2", 240, 250 type kid. And he grew, man. And I tell you what, the one thing I'll tell you is I had the Grayson staff the entire year last year on me about Griffin. And, you know, hey, man, this guy can play. This guy, you know, this guy's a warrior, you know, and I get a lot of that, you know, and I wasn't putting him off, but, you know, I've seen Griffin and I knew he was a good football player. Didn't know where he would end up, but, you know, I saw him. I did the Norcross Grayson game last year, and that was the first time I saw him in maybe a year and a half. And I thought, wait a minute, this kid's bigger than I thought. He gets to Georgia in June, and he's 6'5", 305 pounds. And, you know, he's a full-grown, mature man at this point as an 18-year-old prospect. I mean, he has grown up, and he's got, you know, he's a very physical player. I went to Grayson the other day and was watching practice, and he had a big cut on his leg where he had a weight or something had fell on him, and he had several stitches in his calf, you know, and it's 95 degrees. It's smoking hot. There's probably eight teams there, and he's standing there with a hat on backwards. He's got him a big old jacked up truck, you know, and he's got that 18-year-old. He's full of life, got a sweet mullet look. I mean, I was kind of jealous, to be honest with you, but he was complaining like he wanted to practice, like he wanted to go. And you know, here's a kid with a cut on his leg. I mean, obviously he couldn't go. And it happened, I think, that morning. So stitched him up and he was ready to go. But Georgia staff worked him out. And I remember getting a call. I'll tell you now, because, you know, he's somebody that I've counted on for a long time. Kenyatta Watson called me. He said, hey, Georgia really likes Griffin, and I think Georgia Tech's going to offer him tonight. He's had two good workouts, and lo and behold, the next 48 hours, you know, both schools had offered him that he had worked out at, and he wound up, you know, kind of choosing Georgia Tech there for a minute and thought about it and had the opportunity to go to Georgia, had a committable offer the whole time. And I guess, you know, as time goes on, he, you know, decided he didn't want to pass up a chance to play at Georgia. And this is a kid that could play guard. Think his long-term is going to be center. So we'll see where he is with that. But, you know, he's a three-year starter at a major program, you know, defending state champions, Grayson. They're going to be there will be a lot better people think this year. They're young, but they went through a really, really good team last year to win the state championship and beat Collins Hill and Travis Hunter in that game twice. So I think that Griffin won Georgia staff over, and I think people get a little bit and I understand it's part of it. I completely, like I made the board post, I completely understand where people are coming from. You want 4 and 5 stars, but nobody on our ranking committee has seen Griffin Scroggs go from 6'2 to 6'5. Okay, so that doesn't mean his ranking is final. But understand, Georgia didn't know this kid was 6'5 either. I didn't get a chance to see him this spring until this summer. So I think people need to kind of be a little bit more patient and kind of understand that I don't know that he's going to be a 4-star. He may or may not be. But I know that we don't have the information we usually have, where we have 2 or 3 years of data. We skipped an entire year completely in camps. And then we missed some time halfway through this year with, you know, till things opened up. So, you know, this is a young man that's, you know, he's fully grown now and he's legit size, strong, loves the game of football. And I think that, you know, that was a get that Georgia. They need some offensive linemen in this class, need some interior guys. They've been really, really strong on the tackles, I believe, in the last couple. But Griffin Scroggs obviously knows what's in front of him. He's worked out for Georgia staff now twice. They like what they saw. They offered, and eventually, at the end, they got him.
Kip, what are your thoughts on Griffin Scroggs and kind of how he fits into what Georgia wants, what Georgia needs?
Well, I mean, what any program should want from an interior offensive lineman is you want a guy who's flexible and, you know, mean as hell. And I think that's exactly what Griffin brings in spades. I think the size is obviously a bonus. The fact that he had that growth spurt, it definitely makes him a, you know, a plus prospect and talent at the interior offensive line position, just being able to have that length. But another thing, I mean, as Rusty said, not only has he, you know, won one state title, I believe he's got two state titles. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's 28-1 in the last 2 years playing at Grayson and at Buford. I think they had 1 3-point loss to Clark Central his sophomore year. It's the only loss he has the last couple of years. So obviously he's, you know, he's played a lot of football. And so the film just shows a mean streak and a guy that's, you know, really able to drive defensive linemen back. And the fact that, you know, he's continuing to get stronger and that growth spurt just tells me that, you know, he's got high upside as well. So I think that, you know, when you're looking at the offensive line position, it's just incredibly difficult to evaluate, you know, especially if we're not able to see guys compete in person and against, you know, similar competition, similar talent level, especially, for, you know, us as evaluators, it's just we have to be able to see guys as much as possible to get as much, you know, data points as we can. And we still are not back into the full swing of things and able to really do that. So wherever this guy, you know, wherever Griffin's ranked right now, I don't think that, you know, that's really an accurate picture of what Georgia's seeing right now. The fact that they were able to work him out personally gives them kind of an edge in that aspect. And they obviously thought enough of him to extend an offer and take him without hesitation. So I think he's a guy that checks off the boxes that Georgia wants on the interior line. I know that Matt Luke definitely puts a premium on being agile and being able to, you know, to pull and to move in space and be able to pick up a man on the move. And I think that's exactly where Griffin Scroggs is going to shine and you know, potentially come in there and earn some playing time down the road.
All right, guys, let's take a break here real quick. And on the other side, we will talk about what went on this weekend and kind of the impact it can have soon and down the road for Georgia on the recruiting trail.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rusty, this past weekend, give me a little bit of a rundown on the who's who of guys who made it to campus and how big was the weekend for Georgia, since it is the last one we know that Georgia will get or any school will get for at least a month, maybe even longer, depending on where things are headed.
I mean, you know, Luther Burden was a deal where we had, you know, Kip, all of Steve Wilfong, we had it confirmed he was going to be on campus. I always make a note on these lists. These things can change at any time. I think that not getting him was on campus was kind of a, you know, that's kind of a deal where, you know, you weren't sure that, you know, if he got there, you know, what that was going to mean. But, you know, talking with Steve Wilfong, he still feels pretty good about Georgia's chances with a 5-star wide receiver out of St. Louis. So we'll see there. Kamari Wilson was the one. I mean, let's be honest. That's a guy that Georgia, I feel like they need to get him. You look at the guys that were in town, Jacob Hood, uncommitted lineman. I feel like Georgia's making some really headway there. You know, big 6'8" kid out of Nashville. Massive, massive kid. Georgia's, you know, I think in a good spot there. You know, you look at the commits that came into town. You don't really talk about CJ Washington. And, you know, I went to social media and the first thing I saw that, you know, that yesterday morning was CJ Washington and Griffin Scroggs on Twitter on social media together in a picture. And then a couple hours later, you know, Griffin Scroggs decommits to Georgia Tech and little things like that. So, you know, it was a big week. I think all week there was some things there, and I think that Georgia fans, that could be a week that pays off down the line. I made it clear there was some surprise stuff going on. There were some guys there that didn't get reported. And the reason they didn't get reported is because those young men asked me not to report it. So that is going to be 1,000% of the time. I'm not going to hint. I'm not going to give up that. You break that bond, you never get those that information again out of those kids. So, you know, there were some things that went on. It was a pretty good week, I think, in Athens as far as finishing out. Really an open period for the class of 2022. Now, you know, here's something we'll touch on, but I'll give a little hint tonight. As this podcast comes out, sounds like that Georgia Clemson game, there's going to be a ton of prospects, elite targets in the crowd, for that. So we'll see as I work closer and get more names, but early on that has some opportunity to be a very big, you know, audition for Georgia, not only for the whole country, but they're going to have some top targets sitting in the crowd.
Hey, I'll be in the press box for that Georgia Clemson game. I just hope to get some good Duke's Mayo swag, since that's the Duke's Mayo Classic. I didn't find that out until about a month and a half ago that that's who was sponsoring that game. So, but big news there, as far as guys being able to visit for that and be able to be in attendance. I think that could be, you know, a game that, you know, obviously the winner is going to look really good in a lot of those guys' eyes. But at the same time, I think also just putting a really good product on the field and looking sharp in that first game, it can also pay dividends. Kip, was there any guy that you were really looking at coming off of this weekend as far as a visit that you think that Georgia really needed to make a move with?
Well, I don't know about make a move, but I know that there are definitely some top targets that not only are they trending with, they're probably in a good position with. You know, when you look at Carlton Madden, the edge rusher, in-state guy, Cedar Grove, looking to probably announce his commitment next month, I believe. A guy that, just like Griffin Scroggs, growth spurt, you know, coming in at 6'3", 239 pounds, just, you know, explosive length and at a position that Georgia really, really needs multiple guys in this class. And, you know, as far as the edge rusher position, I think just getting him back on campus and continuing to be in a good spot for him is big. You know, just a guy to keep an eye on down the road. Rusty's mentioned him over and over again. You know, Buford defensive back Jake Pope, you know, another guy that is important for Georgia to continue to recruit and try to get him on board, because, you know, that defensive back position, they need numbers in this class. They need as many guys as they can get. He mentions Kamari Wilson. I think Jake Pope's still another guy to watch. And obviously, you know, being able to get Smoke Bowie on campus, I mean, even if you can get him on campus for 30 minutes, I think it's important for Georgia because, like I just said, the defensive back position, that they need a lot of guys. And, you know, him being a potential five-star cornerback, an outstanding athlete, that's a guy you want to, you know, get on campus as many times as you can. I think they'll get him on campus more times down the road. His recruitment is just going to be a continued roller coaster all the way to the end. But, you know, a Bainbridge athlete, you know, Kirby Smart doesn't want to miss out on a guy like that, an in-state guy, an elite playmaker at wide receiver as well. But, you know, the guy, if he wants to play cornerback in college, that's what you recruit him at, and you give him a chance to play there. I think Georgia's trying to get a couple more cornerbacks in this class. So, you know, having Smoke Bowie on campus, that's big, because obviously schools like Texas A&M, Florida State, they're continuing to recruit him hard. It seems like, you know, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in his recruitment. So I think it's always good for Georgia to get guys like him on campus. They had a lot of guys in town, but he was obviously one of the premier elite top-ranked guys that Georgia had in that last weekend, which, again, I think it's crazy that they basically only had 2 weeks to get guys on campus all summer long, but 2 weeks is better than none.
I think that's all we got for today. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell. This has been the latest edition of the Junkyard Dogcast, and you guys take it easy.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.